To the book of Ephesians and chapter 4, be in prayer for Sister Wells, has the flu, and Sister Kim still recovering from her bout of sickness, but she's here today. We're thankful for that. Continue to remember these in prayer, in addition to those that are on our prayer list. Ephesians chapter 4, and we were admonished to walk worthy of the vocation, the calling, wherewith we have been called. We've seen that walking worthy involved some things. Involved walking in lowliness, humility, and meekness. Being of a gentle spirit, not quickly offended. And long-suffering. And forbearing one another in love, lifting up one another, deferring to them, encouraging one another in the work of the Lord. Endeavoring, making haste to labor, to exert yourself. Unity of the Spirit. Each one of us were to be doing those things. Ought to be doing those things, and that is a walking worthy. That is walking suitably of the calling wherewith we've been called unto. Something that we're beholden to do. They give us some examples and just to reinforce why we should. And he did that by saying there's one body. There's one spirit. There's one hope. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one God and Father of all who is above all, through all, and in you all. Speaking of the Ephesian church, and today speaking of the Grace Baptist Church. And each, he says the same thing to each of his individual local assemblies. And that is all in an effort to promote unity in the body of Christ. And we look at these things and we say, you know, you're asking me to do something that, telling me that I should do something that is beyond me. Well, you're right, it is beyond each one of us, humanly speaking. And something we can't do in and of ourselves. To walk in humility, to walk in meekness, to walk long-suffering, to walk forbearing one another in love, to making haste and putting forth a great exertion to see to it that there's unity, a oneness in the body. And so he answers that with the next that we're going to look at. Actually, we could say from verse 7 through the rest of the chapter is an answer to that fact that we can't do it of ourselves. But, verse 7, unto every one of us, church members, in the body of Christ, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So he starts off this, shall we say, this section with giving us gifts in the body of Christ. Each member is endued with these gifts. A gift. Why? To enable us to be as one. To enable us to be as one. You see, we've been up till now in verses 1 through 6, we've been talking about unity in the body of Christ. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And how is He going to get that glory? How is that going to be a glory unto Him? By Christ Jesus. By His body.
Yes.
By His body, walking worthy in a suitable manner.
Yes. Amen.
Of the calling wherewith they've been called. Wow. We've been given the Holy Spirit. It said, in verse 3 said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We've been given the Holy Spirit, and He, the Holy Spirit, which is Christ's Spirit, only works unity in the body of Christ. He does not work division in the body of Christ.
Amen.
It's not me first. In the body of Christ. We're all on equal ground. Christ is not divided.
Amen.
So what's that say about a body of Christ that's divided? Well, it's not of Christ.
Amen.
Somebody's gotten out of place.
Right.
Somebody's gotten out of place. They're not allowing the gift of the Holy Spirit given unto them to promote that oneness that they were to do. We've been given gifts. I can't do it in the flesh. You can't do it in the flesh. We need the Spirit of God. And that's what He's deals with here. Unto every one of us is given grace. We've been emphasizing context, context, context. And we're going to continue to do so. Yes, the body of Christ. Been given grace. unto every one of us, unto every member in the body, have been given grace. Each one of us have received grace. We've received grace of justifying, pardoning, adopting, sanctifying, persevering. And we received it freely and liberally. We call that a salvation, which is on a personal level, personal with me, personal with you. He said, in verse 7, he said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Well, that's going to become really important. Unto the measure of the gift of Christ. But the gift of Christ, each one of us individually, on a personal note, personal basis, have received Christ. Amen. The gift of Christ. He's a gift to us. So the grace referred to is the gift of Christ. We have received Jesus Christ. It's covered in previous chapter, in chapter 2, and that portion of scripture there. We were quickened, we who were dead in trespasses and sins, and he told us how dead we were. He told us how sinful we were, how wretched we were, how wicked we were. But God, who's rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. And he says, for by grace ye are saved. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. You see, that's on a personal note, that's on an individual basis. But it is to be true of every member that the Lord has placed in his body. If it's not true, the Lord didn't place you there. Man placed you there. You see? John chapter 3. Sometimes we just, these verses are so familiar to us that we just quote them, and sometimes we get a word mixed up or two. We need to look at them periodically. And verse 16. Yeah. Anyone here couldn't quote John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see? God gave to us his Son. It is a gift. He gave his grace. Those who believe, he gave his Son that they should not perish but have everlasting life. That's beautiful, is it? Is it not? We love that. We love Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We love John 3, 16. Well, I love Galatians chapter 4 equally. We probably don't know it as well as John 3, 16 and Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We should. Verse 4 of the fourth chapter of Galatians says, but when the fullness of the time was come, that is, when time was right, when it pleased God, God sent forth His Son. He sent Him. Made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Amen. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." Oh, I find comfort in that.
Oh, amen.
I find comfort in the fact that He's my Father. Oh, the Spirit, and the Spirit's in my heart caused me to cry, "Abba, Father, Father, Father." It's dear to me. Not as we mentioned the Pharisee this morning, God.
Yeah.
And sometimes I hear individuals that pray, they'll say, "God this, and God, God." And where's the personal relationship in that? You know, and I'm not saying that individual doesn't have a personal relationship, but to say Father, that speaks the expression of the heart, doesn't it? Father. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father." We that are, say, we that are true disciples. Well, that's passed on Sunday morning. So these, I wanted one more. "Wherefore thou art no more a servant," verse 7, "but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Oh, we love these passages of scriptures. We love these passages of scriptures on an individual basis. And we should. Because the day I was saved, it wasn't in a church setting, even though it was through the ministry of the church and the continued preaching of the Word of God and coming to me and so forth. But that day, I was at work. And there were 60, 80 other people there, but He was dealing with me that day. On a personal basis. But, in keeping with our context, we must show that the church has also been given grace. You see, there's grace to the individual. But then He gives grace to His churches.
Amen.
Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. Verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, speaking to what brethren? Well, the brethren in the church of Corinth. He said, "Moreover, brethren, moreover, ye members of God's church at Corinth."
No.
The church of God at Corinth.
No.
"We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Is He talking about the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia in salvation? No, He's not. The fact that they were already churches signifies that they were already saved people. So God's grace was on the churches of Macedonia. Well, what grace is He talking about here? The grace of God was upon the churches of Macedonia. "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. These churches of Macedonia were churches that were in great poverty. They didn't have a lot of money. It would be similar to what Brother Hilly has told me about the brethren there in Peru. And they don't have much. But these churches of Macedonia, they learned of the giving to the poor saints at Jerusalem, and they wanted to have a part in it. They wanted to give, and God's grace was upon them, enabling one, causing them to want to give, and enabling them out of their deep poverty to cough up every last penny they have and give it to them. Listen, it's something that's not done in the flesh, but God's grace being upon you, you can do it.
Amen.
So he said, the grace of God upon the churches of Macedonia. And this they did, verse 5. Not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. You see, they first gave themselves to the Lord. They submitted to Him, 100%. They trusted Him, even though they gave every penny that they had. They trusted the Lord to take care of them. They submitted to Him. And the burden that the Lord laid on their hearts and wanting to have a part in that giving. And so much that we desire, Titus, that as He had begun, He would also finish in you the same grace also. That He would come and receive it. And that grace would be finished. Would be realized to completion. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. He admonishes the church at Corinth to abound in the same grace, the grace of God, to give. And God has given this church grace. Grace, we don't have a lot.
Amen.
But we support some missionaries that He's led us to support.
Amen.
You might say out of our, we can't even really say out of our deep poverty. We don't know nothing of the poverty that was in these Macedonian churches. But it's enough so God's Word tells us about it. Tells us about the grace of God that was upon them and enabling them. And so we have one example, God's grace being upon church. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians in chapter 1. This takes on a little different flavor, but nonetheless, it's the grace of God. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul, in his letter to the church at Galatia, still in his preliminary remarks, says, grace be to you, the churches of Galatia. Verse 2, notice that? Churches of Galatia. Not one church, churches of Galatia. There's several churches in Galatia. In studying that and looking at it, at least six or seven cities throughout the Galatia region. Evangelized by the Apostle Paul. Even though Acts didn't name all those cities in Galatia, we know that he went in to that region, Galatia and Cappadocia and other parts. But he said, grace be to you and peace from God the Father. So grace to the churches. Well, why would Paul open that way if God's grace runs upon the church? Because his grace is upon his church.
Amen.
His grace is upon the church to uphold. In context with the letter to the Galatians, to uphold specifically the gospel and the teaching of his word. And not to depart from it in one iota. Listen, that takes the grace of God. Sometimes we might be bound, we might be tempted to give our own interpretation. But no scripture is of any private interpretation. That is, it takes the Holy Spirit of God to understand this book. So that tells me it takes prayer to get into this book and understand it. You see? Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The churches of Galatia. The churches of Great Galatia were leaving the gospel by which they had been called by the grace of God, the grace of Christ, and departing unto another gospel. Well, we know that other gospel was, they were mixing it with works. They were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they said, but you got to be circumcised too. Because there were Jews in there. And to please the Jews in those churches of Galatia, they said, well, you got to be circumcised too. You're not really saved if you're not circumcised. Well, that was false and contrary. That was false and contrary, even you might say, in the spiritual setting to the Old Testament saints. Because they were commanded to be circumcised in the heart. You see? And that's what salvation is. It's a circumcision of the heart. It's a cutting away of the filth of the flesh. But he called this grace. The grace of Christ. The gospel came to us on an individual basis. It was a gift. Gift of God. It was the gift of Christ to us on an individual basis. We're now in his church, and we're influencing the body of Christ to depart from the true gospel, which he says later on is not the gospel at all. You see? So the grace of God is upon us to adhere to his gospel and to adhere to the teachings of the Word of God, that the Spirit of God has taught us that these things are so. God's grace is upon the church to do that. But in moving along to look at this grace that was talked about in our text and the gift of Christ, turn with me to the book of Romans. Well, first of all, before I turn there, I want you to see that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of Christ. For that, turn with me to the book of John. And we know that God the Father and God the Son are one. So, it's the Spirit of God, it's the Spirit of Christ. Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God. But look what he said in John chapter 16. In verse 6. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. He's talking about his going away and him sending another, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you. It is necessary. It's to your benefit, church. He's not speaking on an individual basis here in the 16th chapter. He's speaking to his church. He's speaking to the 11 apostles. Judas gone. And he says, it is expedient for you that I go away. Well, why is it necessary? Why is it of a great benefit to me for Christ to go away? For the church. For Christ to go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will not come unto you. And he's the Comforter. Amen. Right now, you've had me and your hearts were comforted with me. Now your hearts are troubled because I'm leaving. But there's another Comforter coming. Another who will comfort your heart, but if I go not away, he's not going to come. But if I go away, he says, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. He's going to send his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, unto us to comfort our hearts. The church, he's going to do that for. Listen, at the time of salvation, God's Spirit enters in us. No doubt, no question about it. But when we are added unto the Lord's church, the Spirit of Christ dwells in the church. It dwells here as a comforter. It dwells here as an encourager. It dwells here in teaching us. It dwells here in encouraging us in the things of Christ, in the things of God, instructing us from the Word of God. Listen, you can't grow as a member, as not being a member of the Lord's church, like you can as being a member of the Lord's church. Amen. It's an impossibility. You just won't. That's a fact. That's God's plan. The church. Unto him be glory in the church. And it says we're in the church as we're being taught and instructed. Then we walk worthy of the calling wherewith we walk. We're enabled to walk in oneness. And he gives, his Spirit gives us gifts in the body, enabling us to do that. Enabling us to walk as one. Enabling us to edify, to build up one another in the faith. And that's what he's going to be dealing with in the next several verses. And he gives us the example that he gave apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers. For that purpose, he gave those men those gifts to enable them. And all the church, all the men, every member has been given a gift. Now, turn with me to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. And here's some of the gifts They're given in the body of Christ. Romans 12, and look with me at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Where'd it come from? The measure of Christ. Christ determined, as it pleased Him, what Brother Ron should have, what Brother Mike should have, what I should have, what Brother Jesse should have, what Sister Kim, on and on we go. That is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, which we've been given with, was according to the measure of Christ. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. How many of you know what word dissimulation means? Without hypocrisy. It means unfeigned, not disguised. Agape, true agape, the word used here, is not hypocritical. It's not hypocritical. It'll be without dissimulation. Listen, that's a gift.
Amen.
That's a gift according to the measure of the gift of Christ that the Holy Spirit gives to each member in the body of Christ. Turn with me now to the more familiar passage. And we've been there many times in this book of Ephesians, haven't we? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But now we're pertaining to the gifts given to members in the body. And all of them are the work for the edifying and the oneness of that body. That's our subject. 1 Corinthians 12. Verses 8 through 11. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. You see, it's for the work of the ministry, it's for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we all might be built up unto a holy temple unto the Lord Jesus Christ, unto God. You see. Now, we may have something to say along this line later. Gifts. And understand, there are some who seem to have a natural ability to be able to do this. Well, this gift that the Holy Spirit gives is beyond natural ability. Otherwise, it's not a gift. God graced my wife with a gift. Not natural ability to play the piano, but through years of study and of practice and playing, she plays Why? It edifies. It builds up the body.
Amen.
You see, Sister Charity's learning to play the piano. Coming along. Listened to her some this afternoon while I was looking over these notes. It's a gift that he's giving to her as she, first of all, has a desire to want to do that. Secondly, as she learns it, he enables her to learn it so that she can do it. What, for what purpose? For edifying of the body. Glory unto him, unto God. Be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. World without end. And so on and so on. Brother Mike leads the singing. Not everybody can lead the singing. Brother Ron's the treasurer. There's a learning to keep the records of the finances of the church and where everything goes and how to do it, and so that we have a timely report. That's a gift that is given, enabling that to be done. Some are good encouragers, just being here and faithful to the services, and some the Spirit of God is enabled with a knack for caring for certain individuals, the elderly and people that need help and care and compassion and so forth, and on we could go. Look at another example of the grace given in a church setting. The book of Galatians, again, in chapter 2. And pick this verse out of Paul's rendering to the churches of Galatia. Of course, we know that he was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write this letter and to write these things. But he said in verse 9 of chapter 2, "And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars in the Lord's church, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcised." What is he talking about here? What grace is he talking about? Well, if you were a Jew, as Paul was, it would take great grace to go minister to a heathen.
Amen.
To the Gentile. Because grace was upon Paul, giving him a burden to do just that. And to go. And to Barnabas also. And so the church at Antioch set them apart for that work. And these men, James and these men mentioned here, said, "Okay, we see that the grace of God's upon you to go to the heathen, go to the Gentiles. You go to the Gentiles, and we'll go to the Jew, to the circumcised." You see, God's grace.
Amen.
On two men in his church to do what? To edify and build up the church. And boy, did he build up the Lord's kind of churches. Many churches were established and organized under the ministry of Paul and Barnabas. Later, Paul and Silas, and Barnabas and Mark. And later, Paul and Mark got together too, because Paul recommended him unto Philemon, because he's profitable. He's profitable for him. You see, Paul didn't always have that opinion of Mark, John Mark, because, well, he was maybe young and tempestuous and wanted to give up in the middle of a missionary journey, go back home. And so Paul, when he and Barnabas were going, Barnabas saw that Mark was growing and becoming more profitable. Paul didn't want nothing to do with Mark. But we find out that later on, he did. See? So, in keeping with our context, yes, each one of us on a personal note have received grace, have received the gift of God unto salvation. But that's not entirely what he's talking here. He's talking about unto you, church, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. What? So that you can walk in unity. You can walk in oneness. You can do those things that look like, humanly speaking, it's impossible for you to do. But you'll be able to do it. Shall we stand? Be dismissed in word of prayer.